Instructions for Heartbreak by Sarah Handyside. Read by Tanya Reynolds. For the girls, women, who healed mine. Girls / women. Rosa walked with a bounce and a small secret smile. He was a nice man, wasn't he? A good man. They had stayed for 5 drinks. They had made each other laugh. He had shivered his hand across her knee. He had brushed his mouth over her cheek on saying goodbye. Flickers of electricity down her back. How magical. These moments that everything can spring from. How extraordinary that she couldn't yet know who and what and how he was going to be. How they were going to be. Her red hair curled around her shoulders, and she made herself think mane, not mask. A mantra for the formerly shy, a determination to be open to the world. Her hands twitched in her pockets, and she imagined his skin beneath them. The world is full of wonder, frissons and fireworks, roses and riptides. This is what it means to be the last romantic. It means to live in hope. Back in the flat, Liv lay under her shabby duvet, crumpled and warmer than she would have liked. She had washed perfunctorily, muffled by alcohol, and could still taste vodka on her breath. A TV show she had seen before was playing on her laptop. Shutting her eyes was making her head swim too unpleasantly for sleep. The paradox of drinking so as to stop yourself from thinking. Drink too much and you are unable to do anything but. She stared at the crack that cobwebbed out from her light fitting. It bisected the room. On one side, the plaster and paint were pale and, if not pristine, intact. On the other, a lightning storm of smaller cracks made the paint look darker, yet also shimmery. Nikita had said how lovely it was, that the flaking, splintered side looked shinier. Like that Japanese art of fixing broken things with gold. What's it called? Kintsugi, Liv had replied. The flaws in something that make it stronger. Right, Nikita had said. You know everything, don't you? I love you so much. Her breath was hot on Liv's neck, and whispers of adulation flitted like moths around her ears. But over her beautiful, earnest, anxiously adoring girlfriend's shoulder, Liv's gaze was distant. She stared at those cracks and wondered whether she could scrape filler through them, paint over them, or whether, in trying to disguise them, she would only make them uglier. Nikita had whispered then, "Are you okay? Where are you?" "Too many places at once," Liv had wanted to say, but never would. In the toilets of a bar, a mile or two away, Dee stood in front of the mirror, turned left and right, appraised herself. She realised that her hands were balled into fists, her fingernails gouging into her palms. His name flitted momentarily into her head. She swatted it like a mosquito. 7 words that waited in every mirror. 7 words that echoed on every run. She pursed her lips and applied another layer of red. When she returned to the table, he would look at her mouth and think of the shiny skins of apples, valentines, blood, bed. She would hear her own laughter as if from a distance. She would drink another glass of wine. She would go home. 10-miler tomorrow, if the weather was okay and the hangover was the sweated-out kind. It always was. Katie listened to the click of the lock, felt the deep exhale that always followed the jittery walk down the road, keys bunched firmly in hand, smudgy relief in the knowledge that the maybe shadows had stayed maybes for another night. The comforting, cake-like presence of Chris in the flat. She wondered